Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With me, our very special guest,
Gail A. Brewer, represents the 6th Council District of New York City, encompassing most of the Upper West Side. She's currently the chair of the Committee on Oversight and Investigations, and also serves on other committees, including Consumer and Worker Protection, Finance, Government, Governmental Operations, Higher Education, and Rules, Privileges, and Elections. As a council member from 2002 to 2013, she was also the Manhattan Borough President from 2014 to 2021. She wrote and passed important legislation, including 5 days paid sick leave for most hourly workers. And I'm going to stop there because she has a wealth in public service, especially in New York City. And welcome back to the City Council where you started once again. So we want to welcome you to Reaching Out and thank you for agreeing to come on again.
Thank you very much. It's always an honor. And I wanted to say one thing that I remember so distinctly was when you honored the woman who had worked for you as the news reporter.
Marie Colvin.
And then was killed, yeah.
Yes. Yes, Marie Colvin was an international journalist and she was killed abroad. And she used to work for Local 237. She started out her career we honored her because they tracked her by her phone and she was killed by Islamic extremists for the stories that she wrote. Yes.
I'll never forget that.
So you came to the City Council with a lot of experience, but the current council has 35 new members with varying amounts of government experience. What changes do you see from when you first served as a council member over a dozen years ago?
Well, first of all, it's a new speaker. I think Adrian Adams is a good leader. I had Gifford Miller, and then I had Christine Quinn. So everybody has a different personality. I would say that the issues we're not post-pandemic. We're dealing with the pandemic. And last time when I came in, we were dealing with 9/11. So there are two challenging situations. I think this one is worse because we don't know enough about the future. We don't know how much Midtown's coming back. We don't know when we had 300, 400,000 people unemployed. There's still major unemployment issues. The world is a mess. We have the war. We have supply chain issues. The formula is just one of them, but they are constant. I remember doing Christmas holidays. My local stationery store couldn't get any toys to be able to make his revenue during the holiday season. He finally got some, but not that many. And then you have, of course, all the challenges with families. When you think of 1 million Americans have died, and you think how many have died in New York City and how many have died in the state. Kathy Nolan said that there are some schools in Queens where almost every single person has had a parent die. You know, that's mind-blowing. And then how do you deal, of course, with the future health issues? How do you deal with, the list.
Yes,
and
your
members experience a lot of this. So that's how it's really different than it was after, as awful as 9/11 was. They're both bad, but this is worse. You think of all the people who are no longer with us. And then, of course, you have the gun violence, which we didn't have after 9/11. So I would say, it's going to take a village, to put it mildly, to figure all this out and to even make a dent in people's challenges. And because it's not just us. Last time it was 9/11, and all these other cities and countries came to our assistance. Now we're all in the same situation. So nobody's coming to our assistance because they all have the same problem. So I would say it's hard. It's hard, yes. Very hard right now.
I would agree with you. To put things in perspective, we had over 3,000 deaths because of 9/11. And that's between New York, Washington, D.C., and Pennsylvania. And now we have over a million deaths in the United States through this pandemic. So the comparison is really eerie. So I could agree with you. And the gun violence, it seems like someone's getting shot in our city every single day. Just yesterday, and as we're doing this broadcast, another young child was struck down by a stray bullet.
11 years old.
And since you and I are talking, last time you were on the show, I offered suggestions for the homeless when we said, you know, you could go in and have the, instead of having our city's money goes to hotels, we should send the money to NYCHA and put the people in NYCHA. So unfortunately, we weren't in control of that. We gave the suggestion. I'm going to give another suggestion. There should be stiff penalties, 3-year minimum sentencing for anyone caught with an illegal firearm. Throughout the state, although the gentleman, I don't even want to call him a gentleman, that young punk that shot all those people and killed all those people in Buffalo had a legal firearm. We need to close up the loopholes that allow people with mental illness, violent tendencies to buy firearms, especially assault weapons that they don't need. We need to limit that. And then we need to have a sentence of 3 years mandatory jail time for anyone caught with an illegal firearm. And we will start seeing our streets safer fast. Because right now there's no repercussions for those who carry illegal firearms, especially young children who are just carrying them at will.
And goodness knows what will happen if the Supreme Court allows a carry permit, no matter what, like in other states. Because in New York, we live on top of each other. I don't know, that's one thing in Texas and elsewhere. But can you imagine everybody able to walk around with a gun? It's inconceivable. I don't know what the Supreme Court is going to do. Seems like they're going in that direction. So you're absolutely correct. But
I believe you can put restrictions around what the Supreme Court, we should look at laws that if someone has a mental illness, they shouldn't be able to carry a weapon. Someone shouldn't be able to go in and buy assault weapons. Someone shouldn't have ghost guns, and et cetera. And then it may be a little safer because the bad elements will know mostly everyone's carrying a firearm. Legally, so the advantage, if I'm just saying the worst case scenario, you have to find a way to make lemonade out of lemons we've been given, unfortunately. So, absolutely. I mean, that would be a backup plan. You would not allow people with mental illness, not allow people with criminal pasts to have firearms legally, and you would still have mandatory jail sentencing for those who carry firearms illegally.
And so, get rid of the ghost gun parts on the
internet. Get rid of the ghost guns. So we are living in somebody saying interesting times. No, some very, very bad dark age times. That's what we're living in. Yeah. So tell us about your responsibilities at the council and what you hope to achieve this term.
Well, I'm on the, I guess you'd call it kitchen cabinet of the speaker's office. So that means that there's about six of us that are advising her on a weekly basis. And that's exciting for me. Obviously, I have a lot of experience, but also I have a lot to learn from people who are smart and new to this. So it's a good combination. Secondly, I'm on, obviously, finance committee and the budget negotiation committee. In fact, there's another small little discussion going on over here. So right now, as you can imagine, it's the budget negotiation time because it has to be done by July 1st. Excuse me, Rosalba, please, a little bit quiet. So the issue is, how do you take the knowledge that I have and so we don't make the same mistakes, and we can try to move forward and address some of the issues that you and I talked about. The Committee of Oversight and Investigation, we're staffing up because there's two parts to it. There's obviously oversight. We did recently an oversight hearing, for instance, on workforce development. But then there's the investigations part. I think Council Member Richie Torres did a great job on that. He was head of that committee for a while. So that we're staffing up with attorneys and investigators so that if there's an issue that needs, and you may have some suggestions, it needs investigation. It's a long-term project, but hopefully it makes changes. And that's where I'd like to have my mark. But we have the staff starting in about 3 weeks, so it can help me do that. So those are the two, there's many, many issues to be investigated and could use some sunshine, shall we say. So that's what I hope. And then in addition, on these other committees, I try to participate as much as I can. You know, there are issues that I can bring, but then there's also ideas that people have. So it's a good combination with some of these younger, smart members. They're very smart and they ask good questions, and I really appreciate it.
There are two issues that are currently very important to many people, especially Local 237 members. One is public safety and the presence of school safety officers in public schools. Yep. The other one is NYCHA, affordable housing, and the move to save public housing. First, can you talk about your view on our schools, our public safety in schools?
I have always been supportive of keeping them with PD, and I remember when they were with DOE, and it didn't go so well, and DOE doesn't always manage so well. So, you know, we were actually discussing this yesterday at the budget negotiation team. The SSA officers came up, just so you know. And I think generally people realize that although de Blasio may have moved, that ship has sailed and people are staying with the police department. That's our understanding. So now the question is, are there, you know, people wanted to know, for instance, could there be, as part of their training, some young people so that they could have some say as they are trained in the way in which the issues come up? Could there be some high school students? I thought that was an okay idea when you do the training. Could the high school students have some input so that their concerns are addressed? That kind of thing. So in other words, there might be some different kinds of training because we don't want young people to be arrested in the schools unless there's some horrific situation that you know better than I, because they do take place. And I think the issue was, how can we have them coupled with groups like RAP or Restorative Justice or groups that have that kind of expertise? And I've been advocating for 20 years to have more social workers in the schools, because without them, you talk about the need right now for that is, as you know, tremendous. And even though the mayor may say there's a social worker in every school, that is not correct. And I know that.
No, it's not correct.
Not correct. So whether it's a social worker or a group that has caseworkers, either way, they're desperately needed to couple with the support that they get from your officers. So, I mean, that would be the best answer I can give you. They should be there. They need to be coupled with other kinds of training so that the young people hopefully don't end up, you know, either in the hospital, unless it's necessary, or the police department and the precinct, that they get the support they need at the school. And that's what I think the goal is. But I think your officers are great. You know, sometimes I know we support I have some trouble with the scanners. I know that some parents like them and some students like them. It makes everybody late for class for the first period. That's one problem. So how do we address that kind of issue? I have friends, they don't want to teach the first class because the kids are always late where there is a scanner. And so the mayor had talked about some fancy device, but I haven't seen it yet. They could go into the schools, so like we wouldn't have to, you know, just walk through it like you do in an airport, but I haven't seen that yet. So I think the scanner and the line and so on need to be addressed. But I hope that answers your question. But generally, first of all, I love Candy Rodriguez, as you know. That was my hero. She got that big award, as you know. So I'm a fan of her and her colleagues.
Well, I can tell you those are all good suggestions and good points. The students should speak to their principal, the Department of Education, about incorporating any of their concerns with the police department, because the people assigned Mark Rampison one to the Department of Education, that's the liaison and the voice of the Department of Education. Those concerns should be communicated, and there could be meetings or training, whatever set up with the police department, always looking for good ideas. That's something that, that the Department of Education should address with the children. And I don't understand why they don't. Whether they were making plans or trying to take over something they knew they did not have the expertise to do. But incorporating concerns of youth is paramount. Let's hear what they have to say and why. And get a dialogue going together, and everybody understands each other's view, the world would be a better place.
Yes.
And as far as the metal detectors are, I'm still waiting to see this great mosaic of how do you scan and keep weapons out of the schools and keep the lines flowing. We're all for that, because a child missing school because they're online to be scanned doesn't serve any of us well.
Correct. Yeah, I'm waiting too for this device.
Yes. So the second question was NYCHA.
Yep.
How do we see NYCHA? You know, we have now we have public housing. We talk about the trust boards being set up, trying to be set up, and we have RAD. And people didn't understand that RAD, rental assistant development, is actually privatization.
Yes.
237 members will not be working there. Public safety service workers won't be working there. And eventually, departments can go market rate. And Maxine Waters is a staunch opponent of RAD. She wrote to the General Accounting Office and President Obama, voicing her concerns. So this was President Obama's program that he set up. Maxine Waters is opposed to this program of RAD.
Oh. It's even worse than that. Let me tell you, today I'm in the office and in the district office, and we have a lot of NYCHAs on the Upper West Side. And as Manhattan Borough President, I know every tenant leader. I was in and out of family day and NYCHAs constantly for 8 years. This is another issue to add to your, you're not there, but guess what else? So the city is not figured out. So if you have an elevator issue or anything in a becoming RAD building, you call 311, they say, you're not us, you gotta go to NYCHA. You call the CCC and they said, no, you're not us, you gotta go to 311.
I know.
So the person is not able to make a complaint as we sit here today, because the city doesn't communicate. So, you know, it just goes on. I'm gonna have to spend another half all day tomorrow getting that unraveled so that they at least can make their complaint to somebody who will listen. So it's even more complicated. I've got the biggest one of all, unfortunately, without any input whatsoever, is Wise Towers. The difference was that at Chelsea, Elliott, and Fulton, as you know, we spent 2 years talking about what RAD should look like. It's a very different kind of program. We didn't have anything at Wise Towers, and I was at a meeting the other day. The elevators don't work. The rats are rampant. I could go on and on. So it's not only are your members beloved in many cases by the work they do at NYCHA, but we have very little oversight over this private company that's coming in to be the developer / manager. So it's really a problem, and with no input from the residents, to be honest with you. As an example, the toilets are too high, cabinets are too high, and it's very hard to get something undone like that. So I could go on and on about the challenges of RAD. Now there are some of the scatter site folks are with the very small buildings, you know, I'll be honest with you, they're somewhat happier because they like to see the increased quality of their kitchens and apartments and so on. Without any tenant input, it is the wrong thing to do. Now this blueprint, I don't know, you know more about it than I do, that is now pending in Albany. That's another challenge that we're facing. So that's something that I know that the mayor kept on Greg Russ, who was, of course, that's his baby, the blueprint. Yeah.
He had no choice, really, because Greg Russ has a contract, and that was done with HUD, the Housing is Urban Development. The deal that Mayor de Blasio made so that HUD wouldn't take over NYCHA. So that was one of those deals. So that's why he had to keep them on.
That's right. Yeah. So now we're dealing with Albany and the residents are concerned. So, I mean, it's hard. I spend, as you have, thousands of hours trying to support the tenants. We have one person in our office who does nothing but NYCHA all day long. So I would say that it's just challenging on every single front. But the worst part is when there's no tenant input to the change. And that's what I'm facing right now, literally one of our biggest developments.
I can tell you with the Housing Trust, because Greg Russ came from Cambridge, Massachusetts, and we know the work that he did. They kept the union workforce and they kept control of the departments. So with this new board, NYCHA will still have control of those apartments, so you can go to them rather than go to this entity that the cabinets are too high and you can't speak to anybody about it. So the difference is there will be input from you and the residents, because NYCHA will still be in charge.
Which is different than RAD.
So people want to know, how can I support this? You'll still have input.
Okay.
RAD, you have no input.
Yeah, exactly correct. And they can't even make, right now, today, they can't make any complaints because there's, you know, people doing this, you know, blaming each other.
Yes. So, I mean, I understand people's apprehension, but you, the city council, the mayor, will still be in control of what happens to NYCHA. Okay. And you'll have input on who goes on their board.
Good. Okay. Yeah, just like the School Construction Authority kind of way it's going to be laid out. All right, that's good to know. I'm glad you've been aware of it and working with it. We'll see what happens in Albany. We're still waiting.
For many years out. Cambridge, Massachusetts. Yeah. So you're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237, very special guest.
Hey, John.
Gail Brewer. So we just want to ask you one thing before we leave. If you just have anything that you want to communicate, we have about 1 minute.
Yeah. What I want to communicate is to thank 237 for the support in the past, and to say that I look forward to working with you, not just the SSA officers and the members who work at NYCHA, but also just the way in which you approach the city. Member first, you're very informed on public policy, and you understand that, you know, the problems are huge, but you figure out how to address each and every one of them. And you know, do your homework, and that's what you do. And I appreciate that. That's why I'm delighted to be here today.
Thank you for coming. And, once again, you were listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. Very special guest, Councilwoman Gail Brewer, Upper West Side. Thank you very much for coming back to Reaching Out.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, President of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.